Really quick, before we jump into today's episode, I want to tell you about the new Leadership Accelerator workshops from Better Everyday Studios. Twice a month, I host up to 25 business leaders just like you to learn about and practice one key skill for being a better leader. We cover topics like building trust, giving feedback, setting goals, and more. These sessions are only 30 minutes long, so there is no fluff at all, just actionable takeaways. To sign up, use the link in the episode description below or go to betteverydaystudios.com/accelerator. That's betteverydaystudios.com/accelerator. I look forward to seeing you there. Now let's get into the episode. What do Tom Brady, Brett Favre, Steph Curry, and Michael Jordan all have in common? The truth is that every top athlete in the world, everyone that you have ever heard of, had a coach. So why don't you? Why don't most people in the corporate world have coaches? Because the truth is, they really don't, at least not official coaches. You know, unless you are an executive at a well-performing large company, chances are you're not going to get a chance to have a coach. But that's not entirely true. In some ways, every single employee has a coach. The trick is that coach is supposed to be you, their manager. So how are you supposed to be a coach if you've never been one before? That's what we're going to talk about today. If you have never watched the show before, hello and welcome to the Leadership Launchpad from Better Everyday Studios. My name is Matt Gerson, your host. I am a former Air Force instructor pilot, former head of training and development at SpaceX. And the goal of this show is to bring you actionable insights that can help improve your own performance and the performance of those around you. We have two types of shows. We have guest episodes where we bring in authors, industry-leading experts, and people from all over the world to talk about their lessons in how to be a better leader. But on these solo episodes, I'm bringing you some experiences that I have seen firsthand at some of these top performing organizations on the planet about what makes better leaders. And we are in the final episode of a five-part episode that was about Google's Project Oxygen. If you haven't watched the episodes before, I highly recommend you go back and look at them, because Project Oxygen was this seminal research project that Google did internally a little over a decade ago, where they spent about 5 years researching the question of, do managers matter? And it not only turned out that managers mattered a lot, but they were able to create a distinct list of 8 behaviors that if you can do this as a manager, chances are you're going to be a better manager. We're covering 2 per episode, so the last 2 today. Unlike some of our previous episodes where the 2 behaviors were kind of contradictory and we were talking about that contradiction, in this case, they're very reinforcing. And so the final 2 behaviors that we want to talk about are be a good coach and help the team with career development, right? So those 2 things really go hand in hand. Like you want to care about what people are trying to achieve, and to do that, you want to be a good coach to them. And I honestly think this is something that a lot of new managers didn't necessarily sign up for. They weren't necessarily told that, hey, they were supposed to coach people. And in fact, especially in technical organizations, this can be really difficult because, you know, for technical organizations or all first-time managers are promoted because of their talent as an individual contributor. They were really great at sales. They were really great at software engineering. They were really great at whatever the thing was that they were responsible for before. And so the organization said, well, hey, if they're really good at that, then sure, they can lead people who are great at that. This obviously has a problem for many reasons, but it is especially problematic for this idea of being a good coach, because there's this old saying that goes, great players don't always make great coaches. And that's because for many great players, they're great because they had, not, this isn't true all the time, but many great players are so great because they kind of had some instinct to it. There were some things that just came easier to them. And so they kind of started the game with a little bit of a leg up. And maybe there's certain things that they never had to learn. They just got it. And so now they're responsible for leading these people who didn't get it. And they have to figure out how to teach them something that they themselves never had to learn. And that's a challenge. And so to help you with this challenge, I'm going to give you a simple four-step process that you can use to both be a better coach and through your coaching, help people with their career development. Step one, super easy. Get to know the person's goals. That should be obvious, right? If you don't know where somebody's trying to go, it's kind of hard to help them get there. I will never forget when I was in the Air Force, one of my first commanders, one of my first career development conversations, he simply said, okay, so I found it easiest to have these conversations if we start at the end. So where do you want to be in 2035? Right? He just started looked way out there, right? And that was because, so I was in the Air Force. My career in the Air Force started in 2005. 30 years is like, it was a very solid career. And so it's just like, okay, like let's start at the end. Where do you want to be? Because kind of where, you know, especially for me, I was a pilot. Like, do I want to be a test pilot? Do I want to be a general? Do I want to like leave and go become a politician, which is basically what I said. Those all mean very different things. If you don't know where somebody's wanting to go, it's really hard to have a frame of reference for what to tell them to do next. And now I'm not suggesting that you start all of your conversations this way, because quite honestly, most people probably would have no idea how to answer that question. Because I was in the Air Force, there's a very structured path laid out for you. So it's very easy for you to think in those long timescales. But if you're out in just some job, especially maybe the person on your team is like fresh out of college, or this is their first job, maybe they just finished high school or something, they may have absolutely no idea. And so it can be helpful to have these conversations. Maybe you just start with, hey, where do you want to be in 3 years or 5 years, something like that. But the primary thing is, however you get there, you need to get to know the person's goals in some way. Okay, so that's step one, know the person's goals. Step two is plan short-term goals that lead in that direction, right? So the way I like to think about this is, for a good goal, you have to have a long-term direction and a short-term target. Long-term direction, I want to be a test pilot, I want to be a general. It's pretty vague. You know, in 3 to 5 years, I want to be a director. I want to be a senior engineer. You know, it can be kind of vague. So the question is, if you want to be there in 5 years, 3 years, 1 year, whatever it is, what am I going to do in the next 3 months that takes me in that direction, right? And so this is where you as the manager can help people zero in. Okay, we have this long-term thing that we want to achieve. What's something real, tactical that we can do today? And I think one of the key things to this, when you're thinking about planning these goals, is one of the most challenging things is that people tend to think linearly, but change tends to happen exponentially, right? And so those first goals, if you set a goal that will linearly take you to your long-term destination, you're probably not going to reach it. That first goal that you set is going to be too high. It's going to be too ambitious. You don't have any momentum behind you. You're going to fail. You're going to get discouraged, and then you're not going to move forward. And so instead, you have to set like almost laughably small goals. Let me use some math to like make this super, super simple to understand what I'm talking about. Because without pictures and stuff, it can be a little bit hard. So especially if you're listening to this, let's say you have the goal of saving $1 million over the next 30 years. If you were going to save that linearly, meaning you were going to take the money, put it in a mattress, and not factor in any interest, you would have to save almost $3,000 a month for the next 30 years. That's a lot of money. If you factor in just 6% interest, so instead of taking that money and putting it in a mattress, you take that money and you put it in some kind of bank, mutual fund, some kind of investment where you can get 6% interest a year over time, you all of a sudden only need to save $1,000 a month. So by recognizing that there is an exponential factor to future growth, you reduce the amount that you had to save by a third. People hear $3,000. Oh, forget about it. I could never save $3,000 a month. That's like everything I'm making. Like, what are you talking about? $1,000 a month? I mean, that's still a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. But like, maybe now it starts to become possible, you know. And so applying this to goal setting, Momentum is a thing. Skill stacking is a thing. When you first start your coaching relationship with somebody and you've identified this long-term objective that they have, chances are the first goals that you set with them are going to feel insignificant or inconsequential, but they're not. You're trying to get somebody moving forward, get some quick wins, then you start to build and build and build so that the later goals can get bigger and grander, okay? So those are the first two steps. Now that you know where they're trying to get, you have this short-term goal, how do you help them get to that short-term goal? Step three is something that I call planning deliberate practice. This isn't something that I call, I'm taking the phrase deliberate practice from a man named Anders Ericsson. He was a researcher into this whole concept of peak performance. And he created this concept of deliberate practice that was different than regular practice. So regular practice is saying like, hey, I want to get better at tennis. So I'm going to go twice a week to the tennis court and just kind of hit the ball around for an hour. That's what most people do. They think it's practice. It's not actually improving anything. Whereas somebody who wants to truly get better, they're going to hire a coach. They're going to go to the court twice a week, but they're not just going to hit the ball around. Today, they're going to practice serves. Tomorrow, they're going to practice returns, whatever. I don't know tennis, so I don't know what you're doing. But deliberate practice, it has to have these three qualities, where first, the practice needs to be focused and intense. Second, it needs to give immediate feedback on performance. And third, it needs to allow for frequent repetition and refinement. Let's bring this into the corporate world. Somebody wants to get better at leading team meetings. You're going to put them in charge of leading the team meetings every single week. So it's very intense. They got to do it. They're right there. So it's focused and intense. This is something they're trying to do. There is that frequency of repetition built into it. And then to add that feedback, maybe you give, you know, grading sheets to everybody in the room so that they can get better. Like an even better way to do it would be to get even more focused than just leading, but you're going to clearly lay out what are the keys to leading a good meeting well. You know, are you, you know, is the tech all set up? Are you making sure to get other people's opinions? Are you keeping the meeting flowing? Are you keeping it on topic? These could all be separate things that get worked on in an individual meeting. So you're working on just one of those things, graded on one of those things, and then you can improve for the next time. So helping the people on your team figure out what are the things that, what are the practice events that they can use over time to improve whatever skill is needed to get to that goal, to get to that long-term destination. And then the final step is going to be keeping people accountable. And for managers, I think this is one of the most common things that we miss because we have a lot on our plate. We have a lot going on. You know, goals, professional goals especially, aren't necessarily linked to the day-to-day work. And so your one-on-ones get consumed by, you know, how is this project going? Oh, what are the blockers? How can I help move things forward? And honestly, we forget about these goals sometimes. And so finding some kind of system where you are consistently following up on this person to help, you're their accountability buddy. Ultimately, they got to get done, but hey, how is this going? Hey, I noticed that these were the things that we laid out that you were going to try to work on this quarter. Are you making progress? How's that practice going? Is there anything that I can do to help you? That's your role. So if we think back to, you know, we all need coaches. The best performers in the world have coaches. The trick is that most people in the corporate world aren't going to have coaches or formal coaches. And so it's on you. It's on you as the manager to be a good coach for the people on your team and help them develop their careers. And the way to do that is through this. I know you're probably not prepared for it, but the simple four-step formula is first, you need to understand their long-term goals. Then you need to help them translate those long-term goals into short-term goals. Help them create deliberate practice that will lead them towards those goals and then keep them accountable. If you can do those four things, I guarantee you, you're going to be pretty well set up about how to be a coach and how to help your team. I guarantee you your team is going to really enjoy and appreciate it. I hope that helps. I hope you found this episode helpful. This is something that I think a lot about, obviously, as somebody who lives in talent development. So if you liked this show, I can't tell you how much it would mean to me if you could share it with at least one other person. If you're watching on YouTube, like and subscribe. If you're watching on a podcast platform, then just give us a rating because that really helps with the show reach. So with that, closing out this five-part series on Google's Project Oxygen, I hope you enjoyed it, and I will see you next time on the Leadership Launchpad. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. If you are looking for help turning your organization's great engineers into great managers, me and my team at Better Everyday Studios would love to help. We deliver targeted and interactive training workshops that are designed to help build the three fundamental skills of any new manager: building trust, giving feedback, and setting goals. Reach out to me through matt@bettereverydaystudios.com so we can start making your organization better every day.